Welcome, everyone. I have a emergency services is always important to our folks, and I have a, as you said, Daniel, a gaggle of folks from Fentress County, and here at Local Matters, this has Ben Rogers. I have Daniel Coleman, the EMS director, Tyler Arms, the finance director for the county, Mr. James Bilberry, EMA director, and Mr. Mickey Brown, 911 director. Guys, thanks for being here.
No problem. We appreciate being here.
Yeah, just glad to have y'all. And we're here talking about Fentress County, public safety other than law enforcement. Y'all, we don't have the sheriff here, but we'll talk everything else related. And so, Daniel, I don't know you and Mickey. Mickey's the 911 director. I do know Tyler and James, and we'll talk. But, Daniel, I don't know much about you. So give me a little bit of background about you and tell me how you became the EMS director in Fentress County.
So I was born and raised in a small community in Overton County at the Fentress County line called Twenton. So I lived there, 18 years old. I started EMS, moved to Crossville. I've worked EMS in Crossville for several years. Then I went to work at the 911 center as their training director. Transferred to the fire department as their chief training officer. And then I went into law enforcement as a patrolman for the city of Crossville. And then I went back to EMS as their training director. I got diagnosed with some medical issues, had to come off the road. So I went to work at Vanderbilt. This job opened up in February, March of 24. I applied for it because I wanted to come back home, be closer to home, and I ended up getting it. And I'm here now enjoying it. Hopefully we're improving things and making things better in Fentress County.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you. Glad to get to know you. Like I said, I know James and Tyler, and I know what they do for the county, and they do a great job. But so EMS, I mean, Fentress County, Mr. Gary Peters was what, ambulance director, EMS director for how many years?
He was over 30 years, I think.
Yeah.
He retired. When he retired, they had several directors that was in place for a couple year stints at a time. And hopefully this has changed with me, and hopefully I'll be there for a while.
Yeah, of course you're young, so you have a future ahead of you, and then you got good people around you in this room. Tyler, let's finance director. You've been there how long now in Fentress County?
7 years.
7 years. Don't get too excited, Tyler. Well, Tyler does a good job for the county. And of course, you have a background in emergency services too, being on the volunteer fire department, helping out there too. And we'll get to that. Mr. James, I'm not going to age you at all. Lord have mercy. We don't have to give you age, but you've been doing emergency services for anything public safety. How long now?
I was in Allgood. That was probably the first one.
Yeah.
I ever got on emergency service for was the fire department, yeah. Allgood Fire Department.
Yeah.
Me and my youngest brother, and then after I got married, moved to Fentress County. Then I got on Allo Fire Department. Then a little later, then I got on Fentress County Fire Department, and also on the rescue squad. I've been on the rescue squad probably a little over 30 years.
Wow. And are you originally from Allgood, James?
Yes.
I did not know that.
I was raised and born in Cooper.
But really?
Yeah. I lived in Allgood till I was about 24 years old. I got married and moved to Fentress County.
I just assumed you were always a fixture of Fentress County. So you're a Putnam Countyan,
yeah,
like myself.
Yeah.
Well, we miss you. How about that? You know, yeah. You're in Fentress County, been in emergency services for a long time. And, of course, Mr. Mickey Brown, 911 director for how long now, Mickey?
I started June the 30th of this year.
Wow. So we were talking off air, 911. Of course, I told you I'm the 911 chairman here in Putnam County, and I'm blessed to be serving that. But, James, you're on the board still, right?
Yes, I'm a vice chairman.
How long you been on the board now?
Almost 20 years.
20 years. So I hope I don't have to serve as long as you on the board. But you and the board's kind of ran 911, right? And
yes,
I don't know if that's ideal for a county that's growing. Fentress County's growing. I know that much. I used to work there quite a bit through CTAS, and Tyler get tired of seeing me. But Fentress County's growing. And so for a 911 board to kind of operate themselves, it's hard, right? I mean, it makes it hard on you all.
Yes.
And so now, Mickey, you're full-time.
Yes, sir.
So where'd you come from?
I'm originally from Fentress County.
Okay.
I served with East Jamestown Fire Department. I served with, before it was emergency management, it was civil defense. I'd been on there. I'd been on the rescue squad. I actually dispatched for almost 8 years, and I'd left for a stint, and this job come open, and I just figured that I wanted to try. I wanted to get back to the community, you know.
Yeah.
I've been in some sort of emergency personnel since I was 20 years old. So it come open, I applied for it, and I was blessed to get it. And like Daniel said, we're working to make everything better.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
And Daniel, congratulations. I know it's been over a year, but I hadn't got to meet you yet because I guess when you were coming in, I left CTAS, so yeah. I didn't get to meet you. And but you've got some good experience in the room. And so, Mickey, I'll kind of ask you, what made you decide to apply for that position as full-time 911 director? Is it just you said you want to get back, but there's just your experience. What made you want to take it? Because that's 911 director is hard.
It is. There's a lot to go with it. There's a lot I'm learning. You know, I am the first one that Fentress County's ever had. So it's kind of a double-edged sword there. I don't have anybody to follow up to, but mm-hmm. I don't have any guidelines to go by. So it's been a bit of a struggle, I'm going to say, getting to learn everything. But I've talked to several people with the state. Daniel, Tyler, and James, they've all helped me.
Yeah. You have good people with the state.
I do. I mean, they're probably the best group of people you'll ever work with. But, no, the originally when I quit 911, my heart was in it, but some life unexpectedness had happened, and I stepped away, but my heart was always in it. So I wanted to come back and give, and this position opened up. And there's things that I feel that can be better, you know, and I hope that I'm the one that can step in and just, with the support of these guys, step in and make it better. You know, we've had issues with some of our communications, our radios and stuff like that, and all of us has worked diligently since I've been here. You know, we've made leaps and bounds on that. So that was one of the things. You know, we are a small community, but we can't use that as a crutch. We're going to have to step up. We're going to have to move on and make some changes.
Well, we tried to – some legislation did appear this year to help with more money.
Right.
For the 911 boards and E911 districts. Didn't quite get through, but we're hopeful next year it will make a difference, right? And I don't know how much y'all know about it. We don't have to get into that, but I know the state is trying to help fund 911 in the course of county. Tyler, I mean, y'all been funding 911 for forever, and there's a maintenance of effort there, right? You always got to give the same amount as you did before, but has the county chipped in more money for 911 recently?
Across the years we did. The past few years we've been staying pretty well the same. I think this year might have given a little bit more, and that was primarily to help to get a 911 director. But actually, before that even came about, they came up, 911 did, and said that they were willing to fund it and go with it. So
is the city, Jamestown, and Allert contributing?
City of Jamestown does.
Well, and it helps, right? So, I mean, James, you could always use more funding, right, for 911? Yes. I mean, that's one of those things where it's not a county department, you know. It's a separate entity, but a lot of people in the county think that the 911 is controlled by the county commission, and they don't understand there is an actual board that's appointed by the mayor, but it's separate from the county, and the county's responsibility is to fund it at a maintenance of effort. But really, after that, the 911 board's on its own, right? And so in Putnam County, our negotiation with 911, it's weird because I'm a commissioner in Putnam County, but I'm 911 chairman, so I've got to put on two hats during budget time. We, as a county, fund half of the personnel.
Right.
That's what we do. So that's raises, benefits, everything. And that's our agreement. And it never goes down, right? Other counties just give a set amount each year, or the 911 may come back and say, well, we need some equipment, or we need radios. I mean, that's a big thing. We may want to get on some kind of different network, whatever. And then the county could help fund that. But it's one of those things. It's different, Daniel, because you are part of the county.
Yes.
You have a budget that the commission approves, and every year there's not a maintenance of effort for yours. It's not going to go down. But you have personnel, and you have things. How many employees do you have, Daniel?
So we have right at 31 full-time employees. That includes myself and two administrative personnel, my billing clerk and then my office manager. And then I have about – anywhere from 10 to 12 part-timers that help us cover as well. So we're growing. We hope to grow. We're starting to see an increase in call volume over the years. We run just a little over 5,100 calls a year currently. So we're running three ambulances on day shift right now, or four ambulances on day shift and three on nights. That way we can all hopefully spread the load out. Everybody's not overworked. We have a standalone ER in Jamestown currently. Mm-hmm. So if we take a patient there that has to be admitted to a hospital, they got to go to another facility. So we're seeing our call volume increase over time. So,
how much has that standalone ER changed things for people in Fentress County? I mean, for you, for the public, how much has that changed? It's helped, right?
The standalone ER has helped. It has, because you go in with knee pain. now we're not taking you to Crossville, Cookeville, or Livingston. We can take you up there. They can do x-rays, do a CAT scan, do something, see nothing's going on, discharge you, follow up with your primary care physician. So in all, it has helped. And then it is taking the load off of us. We're keeping trucks more in county and not having to send them all out of county on transports.
Well, it's a bit, it's something that the commission and Jimmy and all of you, that that effort to get an ER there was a task, but the state helped out. I'm grateful for that. I mean, the transport's obviously way down, right?
Yes.
And that means you have more time, people local to answer more calls.
Yeah, we keep our we try to keep our ambulances local. We do out of town transfers from the ER, so we do go to Knoxville a lot, to the University of Tennessee. We're seeing a lot of several transfers to Nashville, to Vanderbilt, and some of the specialty centers down there. But we've talked to them and we kind of work out so that if we take a patient to them, they try to get them locally, regionally first, whether it be Livingston, whether it be Cookeville or Crossville. But we try to get those, and if we ain't got those, then they branch out and go somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, so has the staff increased since you've been there?
So we did put on, we had two additional employees added last year. Whenever I took this position, we run 4 trucks on days and 3 on night or 2 on nights. And then we had a split truck. We took that truck, made it a full-time truck on nights, and then added 2 more personnel on nights. So we did increase our staffing numbers last year.
That's fantastic. I have a whole crew from Ventures County, and I'm thankful they're here. Daniel Coleman is the EMS director. Tyler Arms is the finance director for Ventures County. We have Mr. James Bilbrey, the EMA director, and Mr. Mickey Brown, the 911 director, talking about emergency services in Ventures County. We'll be back in just a moment after this break.
Good job, guys. James.
Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers with Ventures County Emergency Services crew. I've got Daniel Coleman, the EMS director, Tyler Arms, the finance director. He also is a volunteer firefighter. I didn't mention that earlier, Tyler. I'm sorry. Mr. James Bilber, the EMA director, and Mickey Brown, 911 director. Mickey, brand new to his position in June. Daniel is pretty much still brand new, a little over a year now at EMS. And Mr. James, you are the experienced one in the room as the EMA director. Tyler's been with the county about 7 years. Mr. James, I just want to talk about EMA for a few minutes, and we'll get back to all of what y'all are doing here, but you're the EMA director.
Yes.
How long you been in that role?
Been 15 years.
15 years, and you were a rescue squad at one time, right?
Yes, which I'm still on the rescue squad. I'm just a senior member.
Captain, though.
I was a captain for 6 years before I became EMA director.
Well, so my question is, did being captain of the rescue squad prepare you to be an EMA director?
EMA director is more... because I'm full-time on the EMA director, which captain on the rescue squad was just volunteers.
Sure. So I think it's great that Fentress County has a full-time, now 911 director and EMA director. Of course, EMS is always going to be full-time. But a lot of counties, it's part-time EMA, right? So what's the value of having a full-time EMA director? Because I just had Matt McBride on last week at EMA, and he's a part-time EMA director in White County. So what's advantage of having a full-time EMA director?
Well, back almost 15 years ago, I was part-time for about 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and I worked at the Fentress County School as a janitor at Clark Green High School, and then I had an opportunity to go full-time, which was funded as the EMPG, which is funded by the state. They had a certain amount, and then the county was supposed to match that. So that's how I got in the full-time position.
Well, I mean, it's work, right?
Yes.
And when there's a disaster, you're the first point of contact.
Yes.
I mean, when something happens in the county, and we pray and hope nothing ever happens, but we also know things happen. So who do you start coordinating with these guys? I mean, first thing that happens.
Well, I'm really just on all departments, just about, if you look at that. I mean, I'm on the rescue squad. I'm on the fire department, and which I'm the 911 vice chairman and everything. So... And then me and Daniel just recently, was it back in the spring or something, we went to be certified as a PIO. So
yeah.
two PIO for Fentress County.
Yeah. So how long? What was that certification like?
So we went to the class that's offered by the UT Public Safety, and it's a master PIO class. We went to Nashville for a week. It's a 40-hour class. You meet people from all over the U.S. Some of the people that was in our group, we met a gentleman from San Antonio Fire was with us, and then a young lady from Clarksville Fire. But that gave us a lot of information on how to deal with communications in crisis. Crisis communication is real big, and how to prepare you for that. And then dealing with the news, whether it be a TV station, whether it be a radio station, that calls wanting information, what information you can and can't release, and how soon you can release information. So it was really interesting. The information that we picked up and learned was really beneficial for the county. And hopefully, if we ever have a disaster or something like that, it will help the county a lot.
So PIO, Public Information Officer, correct?
Yes.
And y'all had never had that before. It's what James just says, the first time y'all have had something like
that? So nobody that we are aware of in Fentress County had ever been certified as a Public Information Officer. So me and him went and took the classes, and we become the master public information officers.
Well, I think it's awesome the county supported you all in that effort to do that, because it's important to have. I mean, James, what'd you learn out of all that?
Well, I learned a lot, just like Daniel said. I mean, I learned some things that really didn't, you know, I didn't really know.
Yeah.
And it was a real interesting class, and, you know, when to, you know, to, like Daniel said, give the information when not, and everything. So it was a real interesting class.
Well, when disaster hits, people want to know what's going on, right?
Yeah.
And if you have somebody trained and educated and able to do that, it eases their mind about, okay, we've had a disaster, we've had a tornado, we've had a fire, whatever, forest fire, whatever. You're the point person to say, this is what's going on. This is, you know, and everybody's not in panic mode.
Exactly. Well, and two, the resources that's out there. You know, we have numerous lines of communication, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all this other stuff, or X now, as they call it, is out there. And how you can bring those resources all into one platform, and how you can manage that platform to get information out to basically everybody at the same time. You know, Deputy Chief Chandler with Mount Juliet Fire Department was one of our speakers. And we had a discussion on when the tornado come through Mount Juliet. Of course, that same tornado come up through and hit Cookeville and others. But how his information, you know, he done live stream on Facebook from inside his car going down the road just because he wanted the public to be aware. So that, you know, using all these resources that we have out there now that's available to us, that was one of the big topics that we come away. We also talked about how AI is coming and how that can be beneficial to public information, and what basically what you release and how you release it. You know, you can set some of that stuff up on timers and have AI to release it automatically for you if you need to.
Yeah, AI is growing. And in my new position, I've been saturated in AI stuff. I've been trying to learn the good and the bad. And it's a very useful tool. I mean, it helps save time with communication. It, you know, makes things clearer, but it's also wrong sometimes. So, yeah, you got to double check the facts sometimes. And Tyler, you're over the finance director, full time position for the county. You've been there 7 years. You're also in the volunteer fire department, and I want to talk about your role as finance director next segment. But I want to make sure everybody understands there's state law that allows you to be a volunteer firefighter and a full-time county employee. And so when there's an emergency, you are allowed by state law to leave your position to address that call. And there's no penalty, no harm against you, because the state saw a need. I don't know when this happened. You remember when the year passed?
I don't know when it passed.
But what the state legislature saw a need that we're losing volunteers, right? Volunteers are not stepping up. And if you're a county employee and you want to volunteer, you're not going to be punished and have to take leave for when to answer a call. So, you go answer a lot of calls, right?
Yeah, I've got to where I try to only answer if it's a critical call or something major. But we actually passed policy in our handbook just to make sure that we were covered with it. And that was because, of course, I'm the finance director. So when audit came in, they got a little quirky about me leaving my position and my duty to go serve that other capacity.
Sure.
If it wasn't for our county employees through the day with our volunteer fire service, James is a firefighter. He's a county employee. Mm-hmm. We've got our maintenance director, our solid waste director that are all firefighters, volunteer firefighters that are county employees as well and directors. And if it wasn't for being able to leave, there's a lot of times we wouldn't have a response to a call.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got like two of the six right now in this room that respond during the day in Fitchers County, and we can do the job. We're trained to do it. You know, we have to put that time in on the side and still be able to make our job up at the same time as well.
Well, that was my next question. How many actually are employees that are serving as volunteer firefighters? Because, you know, like I said, I've had several on here in the past that are EMA, EMS directors, firefighters that say there's a need for volunteers across all public safety, right, emergency management. And so it's just a need. But I think it's great that the county employees are able to serve in that capacity, and you should probably document it. Even though there's a state law, you should probably document it for the audit team to come in. So I am with Mr. Daniel Coleman, Fitchers County EMS Director, Tyler Arms, Finance Director, James Bilbrey, EMA Director, Mickey Brown, 911 Director here on Local Matters, talking all things emergency management in Fitchers County. We'll be back in just a moment after this break. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers with a group of guys from Fitchers County, Daniel Coleman, the EMS Director, Tyler Arms, the Finance Director, James Bilbrey, the EMA Director, and Mr. Mickey Brown, 911 Director. Talking things, emergency management in Fitchers County, things have changed over the years. Mickey is now the full-time 911 director. We're going to definitely get some more input from him. Mr. James is the full-time EMA director, and Daniel Coleman is the full-time EMS director. Tyler is the finance director and been there 7 years. Tyler, you see, as finance director for Fitchers County under the 1981 Act, you're in charge. You oversee all the money. I mean, the banker's the trustee, but as far as checks being written, things going on, payroll, all that comes through your office. But a lot of people forget about the finance director and how much they assist and aid departments, especially three departments here. You've got three with EMS, EMA, and 911. What's your role in all this as a finance director? What how do you help those folks out?
Communication, talking to these guys. I mean, I try to play the fact of I'm not here to tell you no for anything. I'm here to help you get what you need. We go to the commission, and Daniel can probably vouch that he'll bring me something in his budget, and I'll be like, Daniel, like, you want this to pass, we got to do something more realistic. Like, let's tweak this, let's do this. I'm not here to tell you no for anything. I'm here to say this is how we got to do it, you know?
Yeah.
So communication, and just staying on board with these guys. Even, you know, with Mickey, he'll call me and be like, hey, how do you guys do this? Because ultimately, by law, like, a 911 district is its own municipality. Mm-hmm. It's just a non-taxing municipality. So he'll call me and be like, hey, how do you guys do this? Well, they told me that if we can use your purchasing policy until we can get one. That was just about last week or something. Mm-hmm. I sent him our purchasing policy. They adopt it until they can get one in place, so they fall back on ours. Just helping these guys any way I can. Now, when I became a part of emergency services, it really changed my outlook. You know, I just seen the emergency services dumping in this huge budget all the time of, we need this money to do this, and we have to have this. And then when I became a part of that emergency services, I'm like, hey, this is what government's about. Mm-hmm. Like, it's about the services you offer. You know, don't get me wrong, I'm not for taxing the time out of all your citizens, but you have to provide services. Mm-hmm. So your primary service that's used every single day, you know, you may use solid waste once a week. You may use they ride school buses every day and they're out in the summer, but every day your emergency services are running hard, and every day you want the best service to show up every single day. On your worst day, you want the best service, and there's only one way to do that. You have to fund it, right? I mean, otherwise, you're not going to have it. You're going to be subpar, and I do think that our commission's doing a really good job of stepping up and funding that. They've done great in helping Daniel out with the ambulance service lately. James, about anything James asks for, the commission, they'll work with him with and get for him. So I think that, and I definitely know the commission's happy to see a full-time 911 director in over there and to run that and manage that and make sure that things are operating sufficiently over there.
Yeah, I think the commission has been very helpful in every department, I believe, sitting in this room. James, were you a commissioner ever? Have you been a county commissioner?
No,
I couldn't remember. You're so many things, James. I just couldn't remember if you've been on the county commission. But there's been some Bilbreys on the county commission, so I know that. But no, the county commission, I feel like, has done a good job. And I want to talk about, let's talk about 911 right quick. At what point in time did the commission and the 911 board say, let's make this a full-time, let's have a full-time director? What was the reasoning behind that? James, Mickey, whoever wants to start.
Well, Fitchers County had never had one, and boys really, I mean, we had talked about it for maybe a year or better, you know, about getting one. And that way it would take the load off of boys, a lot of boys, the chairman, vice chairman and stuff, you know, the things that we had to deal with at that time, then now it falls on the 911 director now and everything.
So you feel a little less stressed now, James? You got somebody full-time now responsible, and you ain't got to worry about it.
I mean, we're proud to have Mickey. I mean, and we had interviewed several, and some even out of state and everything, but we had a couple of local and everything, which Mickey was one of them and everything. So it was a good interview and everything, so we're proud to have him on board.
Good deal. Mickey, how many dispatchers do you have?
I have 11 full-time and 4 part-time.
So they were there before, right? Have you increased the dispatcher since you've been on, or is that the same amount?
They're still the same amount. We go through what's called ETAST. And we put it in the program, call volume, estimated to what we need. Right now we're running sufficiently. Eventually I do want to get some more just to take some workload off.
Sure.
But right now we're running sufficiently what we have.
Yeah, and of course it takes money, right, to get that. So if legislation changes and the fees increase, surcharges increase, you may be able to do that. Or
absolutely.
If county commissioner or the city decides to give more money, that's something you can do. I mean, full-time employee with benefits and pay is, what, $60,000 after benefits
real
and stuff?
Close to it.
Yeah, I'm just guessing. I'm lucky. But, yeah, it's around probably $55,000, $60,000 for a full-time employee in Fentress County. To be a dispatcher. So that takes money to do that. And of course, the surcharge increase may help. You just never know how much that'll bring in. But I think y'all are on the right direction of maybe having a little bit of having more organization for 911 with less stress on the board. Because I know as a board member, especially a chair of the 911, I would not want to be responsible for running 911. It would be too much for me, right? So the how many counties are not don't have a director? Is it maybe one or two in the state?
There's not many left.
I mean, Pickett County shares one, right?
Overton.
Yeah. Is that it, you think, maybe?
Now, Jimmy, county executive, looked deep into that through this. He was a huge push and a huge proponent. He wanted a full-time 911 director.
Oh,
He pushed hard for it, even to the 911 board. So he researched that a lot. Now, most counties have a 911 director. I'm not sure full-time, part-time. You know, they had discussed hiring a part-time one in Fentress County, and Daniel was a huge proponent to roll in and say, hey, let's go full-time. So Daniel pushed that hard when he got on that 911 board. So I don't think there's many left that don't have a 911 director full-time.
So there's nine 911 board members.
Yes.
How many of those? I got two in here right now that are emergency services. How many of the other seven?
So currently we have me as the EMS director is one. You have James as the MA director is one. Fire has a representative. The sheriff is a 911 board member. The rescue squad has a representative. We have a representative that is a county commissioner. We have a representative that's from the city of Jamestown, representative from the city of Allert, and then we have one just community member.
Okay. That's a good makeup of – I mean, it's probably working really well, right, James?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
– yeah.
And you've been 20 years, you said, on the 911 board?
Yeah.
Wow. That's good. That's a lot of service for 911. So, and I, obviously we're going to run out of time, so I'm going to have y'all, if y'all can stick around or come back, we're going to do another show with y'all. We got more to talk about because I hadn't even got into, Daniel, a lot of the stuff I want to talk to you about. But I do want to briefly talk about, and this may roll over to the next show, volunteer fire departments. How are the volunteer fire departments structured now? Do they fall under one person? Do y'all have a countywide fire chief, or do they fall under you, James? How does that work?
We do have a countywide fire chief, but statewide, we actually just had a guy come in from CTAS to talk to us and tell us the structures. And he's got laid out what the structures of fire departments are everywhere. We are what they call a county fire department, so we have one chief over all county units. Now, there is a city of Jamestown. There is a city of Allert Fire Department. We've got one chief over everything. There are Morgan County, I believe, has a chief over each district. They're completely separate. They're 501c3. They're not – if they're funded by the county, it's just through donation only. Now, we have a county budget. I mean, it's minimal, but we're all volunteer. I mean, I think we run 499 square miles off of $210,000 a year.
Wow. How many volunteers roughly are in the county?
On roster, we've got about 97. But now, like I say on roster because that's between all districts. You're only responsible for your district. As far as showing up on a call, a big call, we might land 20 volunteers there.
So there's not a full-time countywide fire department, but it's considered a countywide fire department with a county fire chief. Is that position full-time, the county fire chief?
No.
Okay. So volunteer.
Full volunteer, not combination, no full-time, any employees, none that's full-time.
Has the commission talked about or any of you talked about making a countywide fire department full-time?
2-3 years ago, there was a discussion of applying for the Stafford grant and trying to pursue that full-time fire or at least a combination status, you know, and that was – they wanted more information, more studies. I done what I could with it, but, I mean, ultimately, it's been discussed a lot. It's just – it's a big bite to take off whenever – you're allowed to have volunteers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it probably affects their decision not to hire any full-time personnel by having us that are full-time for the county that do respond when needed. We don't have a huge call volume of fire, but there's a lot of things that go with the fire service outside of answering calls and going to fires. You know, we do have first responders that's on the fire department that run medical calls. You've got fire prevention. There's hydrant maintenance. Station maintenance, truck checkoff. There's a lot of things that go along with being a firefighter that's outside of just fighting fire. So
yeah, and so it's a dynamic, right, that volunteers – I've had this discussion recently. Volunteers in Tennessee generally show out and go to disasters and help their neighbors and help people in other states. But when it comes down to the county side of volunteering, if something – disaster happens, they're going to show up. But for like the general – you know, showing up to a wreck or showing up to a small fire, or whatever. Your volunteers are not as many right. people as they used to be, and I don't know how we fix that. But I do want to talk about it when y'all come back next week to do another show because we just got tip of the iceberg. Daniel, I want to know more a little bit about you and what's going on at EMS. And of course, Mickey, the brand new 911 director. I want to talk a little bit more about that. So we'll have y'all back on Local Matters. This has been Rogers. I have had today with me Daniel Coleman, Fentress County EMS director, Tyler Arms, the Fentress County finance director, James Bilbrey, Fentress County EMA director, Mickey Brown, Fentress County 911 director. They'll be back again next week. Folks, remember, it's a lot easier to smile than a frown. Make somebody's day. Be kind to one another. I hope you come back and listen to these guys again from Fentress County. We'll see you next time.